Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It is Wednesday at 11, and you know what that means for us. It is Mike Florio time. Mike, the creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. He is one of the main voices in the NFL, and he joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Mike Florio. And Mike, you get to join us for some breaking news. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This just
what
in.
I miss?
Oh, well, nothing. You get to join us for it. According to our reporter, Chris Emma, Bears quarterback Caleb Williams was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week following his 4-touchdown performance in the win at Soldier Field. So 3 weeks in a row, Mike, a quarterback involved in a Bears game has gotten NFC Offensive Player of the Week, but this time it's a Bear.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, the Bears responsible for the Offensive Player of the Week from J.J. McCarthy to Jared Goff to now Caleb Williams. And that game on Sunday was long overdue, and it was just kind of a nice glimpse into what could become. We'll see 1 week at a time, but it was a great performance from Caleb Williams, and it was great for the Bears to get their win. And now can they continue it as they take on Tom Brady's Raiders?
Okay, so we're looking at this game, and we had all these 0-2 teams, and we were trying to sort out where the Bears fall in that hierarchy or lowerarchy, whatever you want to call it. How do you see these teams now that came out of that week with wins, and what do you think of where this league is? Perfectly, of course, parodied.
Wins in September are money in the bank for January because every team is going to be different by the time we get to week 18. It's always better, obviously, to win than lose, but it's not an indication of where the teams are as they scramble for those 7 playoff spots in each conference. So it was very important to avoid going 0-3. The teams that were 0-2 that got their victories, it's a load off of their backs. And Chris Sims explains what it's like to be in a locker room that starts 0-1 and then 0-2. And the pressure just goes up exponentially with each additional loss. When is this going to end? When are we going to pick up our win? And then when you get to 1-2, right, it's a great opportunity. And they'll have it against the Raiders. One of those two teams is going to emerge from the game 2-2. And there's a significant difference psychologically between 2-2 and 1-3. You don't want to get yourself in a position where you're in a hole. Like the Bengals last year, their record was so bad in comparison to their potential. The rest of the season was just, can we get out of this? Our margin for error shrinks. Our window is closing. And you get to the point where by Thanksgiving, if not earlier, every week feels like a playoff game.
Mike, I also think that in what we've seen here, at least for the Bears, there's how much a win is worth. And given what happened the week before against the Lions, just making that massive statement to bounce back for them and really show progress, I think, on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, this has got to, I think, change the look of what people have observed about the Bears as well.
And I also think what's encouraging is what we saw Monday night. The Lions team that dismantled the Bears went into Baltimore and reversed an outcome from 2 years ago where the Lions went to Baltimore and lost 38-6. For the Lions to just push the Ravens around, I think that's encouraging for the Bears as well because, yeah, that team that beat us soundly in week two is still pretty damn good, even though they were drubbed week one by the Packers.
Mike Florio joins us each and every week here on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody to talk all things NFL. He is the creator and editor of ProFootballTalk.com. Okay, this happened this morning. You wrote about it less than 30 minutes ago. Tom Brady couldn't let well enough be alone. It seemed like things had kind of quieted down, but then he has this weekly newsletter where he talks about paranoia and distrust for those who would question whether or not it's a conflict of interest for him to be both a team owner and a league broadcaster.
It's usually a good thing when the rich and famous do something that humanizes them. It's not a good thing when that thing they do is show that they're as thin-skinned as the rest of us. You'd like to think that Tom Brady is above giving in to the criticism, hearing the things that people are saying. He quibbled with Dave Portnoy earlier this week when Portnoy said on the new FS1 show, Brady's getting $75 million for the one-day Saudi Arabia flag football tournament. Why is Brady fighting that? And it just opens the door to people saying, okay, then tell us how much it is. It's surely not $75,000. And it's probably closer to $75 million than $75,000. So he's got rabbit ears, and he gives into it. And he used that platform of his newsletter to go into this long monologue. And I assume that, based upon how it's written, I assume he's got people who do that for him because he's pretty busy, and it's a long, thoughtful post. But the argument is, anyone who thinks this is a conflict of interest is being paranoid and distrustful. And I can be trusted to navigate these two jobs. And oh, by the way, it's not even a conflict of interest, which is preposterous. Of course it is. And we talk about 80-20 issues in politics. This is like a 95-5 issue in football. Once we saw Tom Brady in the coach's box last week with the headset and the tablet, and he saw himself on camera and he hit the button and he slid down in the frame, that's when the conflict of interest that we knew about or should have known about for a year or longer came into full vision. So I don't need Tom Brady to say these aren't the droids you're looking for. It only makes him look worse, and it only makes the situation look sketchier. I think that was a huge mistake by him, and I'll defer otherwise to everything else I had to say about it on the long post at PFT.
Oh, yeah. No, I can read the quote because our listeners want to hear it too, Mike. We'll play the game. Is this gaslighting? Quote, and with also the success football has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why the point where my roles in it intersect is not actually a point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe.
The way you read that, though.
End quote. Yeah, I this is an accusation as a confession. That's what I feel like this is.
Well, you know, one of the things we learn in law school is that you're supposed to avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety. This isn't about whether or not Tom Brady is able to thread this needle. The question is whether he should even be trying to thread the needle. And it's really on the league initially to say, you can't do this, Tom. We're not going to approve your purchase of a percentage of the Raiders as long as you are a broadcaster with Fox. The moment you're no longer that, you're welcome to join the club. The league should have been the first line of defense here. But even beyond that, and there were plenty of people last week who said, more power to Tom. They're letting him do it. Go ahead and do it. At some point, when you're going to play the moral and ethical card, beyond opening the door to the whole Deflategate conversation where the league decided he was cheating and gave him the same penalty they give to people who test positive for PEDs, you really are putting yourself in a position where I think the moral and ethical thing to do is to recognize it yourself and say, I can't do this. This is a conflict of interest, and I can't do this. Instead, and this is a product of our current age, he likes to say this is an era of paranoia and distrust. I say it's an era where truth and standards no longer matter. Do what you want, say what you want, and fight back against anyone who would dare to question you. To say that it's not a conflict I think just it says it all. And I'm surprised that however many layers of edits this thing went through, somebody didn't say, Tom, probably not a good idea to try to make the argument this isn't a conflict, because anyone with basic common sense knows that it is. And you cross over into the line where the fair question arises, does he think we're stupid?
Well, it's also don't look at the dead body in the corner. Yeah, you know, that's how I feel about it. That kind of metaphor where maybe people weren't going to look at it to begin with as much. And then once he makes note of it, then it's like, well, you're clearly thinking about it. But either way, can't control the message here. And frankly, the only people who can self-police this is other ownership. You know, that's the other part of this. The NFL relies a lot, as you know, Mike, on owners self-policing in a way. Like the people who end up fighting back, if they really want change, it's got to come from opposing owners, aka competition.
And here's what's going to happen. If and when the Raiders are ever consistent high-level contenders, that's when this Brady issue is going to be as big of a deal as the tush push. The Eagles have perfected this play, and it helps give them an edge, and now they're dominant, and other teams don't like it, so they come up with all these straw man arguments as to why the tush push should be no more, ignoring the fact that the Eagles would still have a pretty good quarterback sneak that would still turn first and 10 into essentially first and 9 or first and 8 because they're going to get those extra yards. But with Brady, there's no straw man to conjure. It's an obvious conflict of interest, and I think one of the reasons why the league isn't doing anything now is they have to admit they got it wrong by letting him in, and they're not real big on saying we screwed up in the past, but there will be a groundswell of teams that point this out whenever the Raiders are the equivalent of the Patriots or more recently the Chiefs or currently the Eagles.
Bears trying to make sure that doesn't happen this week as they face the Raiders in Las Vegas. Mike Florio joining us, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. Mike, this is something I could not wait to talk to you about. So we know Jimmy Kimmel back on the air for ABC, but there's a direct tie to why that could be a problem going forward for the NFL and ESPN because, of course, the equity that they're trying to get in the new deal that's been done, of course, with the NFL Network. What can you tell us about how this could all unravel for Mickey Mouse and company?
From the moment the deal was proposed, people realized, hey, they need to get regulatory approval from the current administration. And the current administration has exhibited in the past animosity toward ABC and animosity toward the NFL. Now, all reports have indicated that both sides are confident they'll get the approval, which means they understand they're going to have to kiss the ring or elsewhere in order to make this happen. And they're willing to do whatever needs to be done to ensure that they get the approval they're looking for. But Disney was in a dilemma, and Michael McCarthy of frontofficesports.com encapsulated it over the weekend by saying that Disney, as it was pondering what to do with Jimmy Kimmel, may be choosing between Kimmel and the NFL deal. Now that they've chosen Kimmel and the head of the administration has reacted angrily toward ABC, that becomes a factor. There's another item that emerged today, Ryan Glasspiegel of frontofficesports.com, pointing to a letter that was sent by four members of Congress to the NFL, ESPN, and ABC with a bunch of questions regarding this deal, how it affects consumers, how it affects journalism, how it affects Red Zone. 12 questions with subparts that they want answers to. So you've got two branches of government now that are going to be paying attention to this. And one of the issues is it creates a blueprint for future deals where the NFL may end up owning 10% of ESPN, 10% of CBS, 10% of NBC, which will mean, I'll probably be looking elsewhere for a partner for PFT if that ever happens. But yeah, it just continues to roll in the direction where all the power is being consolidated. How does it affect the rest of us? How expensive will it be to watch the games? How will anyone truly have independence when things need to be said about how the NFL is doing its business? And it really is amazing to see a world where those with money and power would love to create a universe where they never get questioned by anyone. They'd all love that. We'd all love that. But if you're going to be in a public arena, criticism comes with it. And it gets back to Brady. Just stick in your skin and go about your business and make your decisions. But understand that people aren't going to like you. Not everyone has to like you. Not everyone has to agree with everything you do. And it just seems odd that people think there's a way to align the planets so that no one will ever say anything about you you don't like.
Yeah, that's true, Mike. This segment with Mike Florio, the creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I want to get back to a clip that you had last week. It was Pro Football Talk, and Jason Garrett was on.
Mm.
And you guys were talking about the comments that Ben Johnson had made regarding practice, saying our practice habits are not that of a championship-caliber team yet. And Garrett, I think, made a couple of really good points as to why, for a head coach early in his career, how that can be dangerous. Bears responded with a win, but what were your takeaways from what Garrett had to tell you guys?
Well, and this is a theme I've heard from Jason multiple times over the past few years. I sit next to him during the games, and I pick up a lot of great insights from him. And on one hand, we want coaches to be candid and authentic and informative and entertaining. But then on the other hand, when they say too much, that can create problems for the team. And Garrett's point is, you've always got to protect the team when you're speaking to the media. Now, some coaches take it to the extreme, like Bill Belichick, and just grumble their way through, and it's all in the name of protecting the team. Other coaches have perfected the craft of saying something very interestingly while saying nothing. Nick Saban is the king of that. I remember looking at his press conferences and his mannerisms, his delivery. Oh, this is good. And then you see what he said. It's like, he didn't say anything. I think that's the sweet spot for a head coach. Find a way to answer the questions in a candid and engaging manner, but at the end of the day, avoid saying things that will create potential problems in the locker room with guys pointing fingers or guys thinking the coach is calling them out or other things that you just don't want getting in the way of that challenge. Every week, you've got limited hours to get ready for the next opponent. You don't want to be spending any of that time unruffling feathers that you've gratuitously ruffled in one of your press conferences.
Mike Florio, we thank you so much for joining us here. I'm Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Thanks, Mike. Thank Enjoy you, your lunch. Week.
Thanks, Mike. That was Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. Football Talk here on The Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Now we've got to figure out the Kyle Tucker Confidence Index.
Oh, man. That thing is sharply declining.
It's an indexing stock. I just don't know what the price is at after what we saw yesterday over at Wrigley Field.
I'm waiting for it to hit rock bottom before I buy. That's what I'm going to say about that.
How close are we going to get?
Oh, I think we're pretty close.
Let's discuss it next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we traded for Kyle Tucker.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Sure.
Listen to Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
He came back last night. He ran yesterday. The hope is that he progresses and we can get him in the lineup for a few games here.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at trying to find some way to try and get back as soon as possible. So I just kind of brought that up as an option. And, you know, excited to be back here and, you know, play out the rest of this year.
I don't think Kyle Tucker is hitting the dance floor anytime soon, Robbie Triano.
I think he could two-step.
Well, that's not what this is. This is a stanky leg.
Oh, that's right. This is the stanky leg.
Stanky leg.
You're talking about a very specific
do
dance.
Do the stanky leg.
He gets stanky. He could do the stanky leg on the good leg, and you know what I'm saying? Like, cause you, when you do the stanky leg, you're putting all your weight on one side of your body.
So put your weight on the good leg.
Yes. That'd be the right leg in this instance.
And this is a preview of the rehab for Kyle Tucker.
The Tucker stanky leg.
I was like, can you do the stanky leg?
That's what counsel says to him. Do the stanky leg. All right. Now go bat third.
The visual of this made me laugh so hard I'm coughing.
Are you okay? You gonna make it?
Tucker stanky leg.
Listen, Kyle Tucker has missed the last 18 games for the Cubs.
I'm sorry. The visual is really funny.
No, I got you. I had it too. Once I realized, oh, they mean the actual stanky leg, not just dance.
But unfortunately, we got horrible visuals yesterday over at Wrigley. Taylor McGregor did a report during the game talking about the latest on Kyle Tucker. And it wasn't good. They showed him doing typical baseball things, if you will, in the batting cages and then trying to run to first base. And it was that trying to run to first base part, which was sobering.
The typical looked very atypical when Kyle Tucker was doing it. And that's not a good sign when you're, you know, a week away from a playoff series.
And to answer people's questions, no, I did not just cough myself into some sort of back soreness. I'm not tall enough or athletic enough to do so as we think about Cade Horton. But I will say this, though, is I think there are times where you feel a little more confident after seeing somebody rehab from an injury. And I think of, say, you and I talking about the video that Nick Chubb put out where he's got explosion out of his knees when he's doing the standing jumps and going over hurdles and things like that. And those are actually stuff where when you have a knee injury, you know, that's stuff they test. Kyle Tucker's trying to test out his calf right now, and it still doesn't look good.
The things that he was saying yesterday, and I was so anticipating, oh, he's going to talk. And then Robbie dropped in the group chat, this is Kyle Tucker. I was like, okay, 7 minutes of Kyle Tucker. This should be exciting. I came away from that 7 minutes feeling like, oh, well, I hope Kyle Tucker finds a way to get back to feeling like he's normal, because he did not sound like a man who felt like he was normal.
Let's play some for you.
You know, I thought, you know, some of the stuff we were doing here was good. And, you know, like I said, you know, some days I felt, you know, pretty good. Some days I thought I would have felt better. But that's just kind of how things go, I'm sure, at times. But I just figured, you know, with obviously the season winding down, I was just trying to get back as soon as possible. I just brought that up as an option to just maybe have a few other, you know, ways to go about it, or eyes of, you know, other people that I trust kind of work with me on it, and obviously, which thought it was a good at least time to do it with the team on the road rather than at home, and with this season winding down to this last week and homestand, I just kind of thought that, you know, I'd try and look into something like that.
Okay, so that was Kyle Tucker talking about the decision he made last week where he missed the team celebration, for example, when they clinched the playoffs, to go to Tampa where his people are when it comes to his physical rehab, and try to get additional treatment on that left calf. Now, I think that's just how he talks for the most part, and that's been how he is about a lot of things. Kyle Tucker could hit 50 home runs in a season, and I think he'd have the same kind of timbre about it, you know, that consistency in his tone. But you want to hear more words that give you some positivity there, and we didn't have them.
Well, the words I'm focusing on, just like, say, that particular sound right there, right?
Yeah.
Is the fact that he's talking about some days it feels better, some days it doesn't. So, like, if some days it doesn't, you need to have a certain baseline level of comfort to be able to say, I'm going to step out on a baseball field. Well, guess what? Unless you hit the ball over the fence, you're going to have to run. It was actually making me think of, is he going to be like their Kyle Gibson on the postseason roster? Is that what he's been reduced to?
Yeah.
And that's depressing and dark and not great. And then that pregame coupled with what happened with Cade Horton in the game, it's really hard to be optimistic if you're going to be pragmatic about what's going on with the Cubs right now.
Well, absolutely. And I feel like the injuries are a massive concern. You know, his is the most. And I feel like ever since he's been hurt the first time when it was a hand injury, you've seen the Cubs' record reflect it. We just talked about how it's been virtually 500 over the last 4 months. They're 10-10 this month. Bruce Levine talked to him as well. You could have heard that right here on 670 The Score, because we had the broadcast last night. And once again, Tucker discussed trying to get back into the lineup.
Honestly, I don't think anyone's wanting me to be out there more than I am. I mean, I don't necessarily love, you know, just sitting out and not being able to go out there and help my team win. So, trust me, I'm doing my best over here to try and get back. So, but I mean, our team's a really good team. They can do a lot of great things out on the field, and obviously, you know, we wouldn't be in the situation that we are going into the playoffs without everyone. So, you know, it'll be a fun last homestand going into the playoffs, and, you know, hopefully we can, you know, celebrate a few more times.
Let me tell you something. That was said before the game, and it may be a fun homestand, but after one game, there has been no fun. I'm just here to tell you, it's not fun seeing the Padres get within 1.5 game of that top wild card spot. It's not fun watching a 6-1 lead go down the drain. It's not fun listening to that music in your head, Layla, as Edwin Diaz comes.
Timmy Trumpet?
Yeah. Like, for 2 innings, not 1 inning, 2 innings, Layla. 2 innings. Nothing about what has happened so far on this 6-game homestand has been fun. And if Kyle Tucker comes back, that would help. I think that would go a long ways into making things fun. Not just, like, let's say he comes in and he goes hitless in 2 games, Saturday and Sunday. I'd be like, okay, but he's out there. And especially if he's not just DHing, if he's playing in the field. But at least you'd be like, he's going to be there for game one of the wild card series.
No, at this point, he's a veteran. You know he can hit when he's on. I don't need the game warm-up. I need him to rest so he feels better. He had to deal with something like this last year, if you recall, in a team that was very much in the playoffs in the Astros. So that was a different leg. That was the other leg where he had a shin injury. But this, like, no. If after what I saw with him running and, like, not running well to first base, no, take the time you need. Craig Counsell was asked if Kyle Tucker would play in the playoffs if they started yesterday.
Could he play if he didn't play in regular season? Could he step into the playoffs, or would he have to play in the regular season?
Yeah, that's a decision that is down the road that we'd have to make. I haven't really thought about that decision yet. I'm still hopeful we're going to get him in there.
No, that doesn't make me feel better either. I have no blankie. I have no pacifier in this segment.
Cold world, no blanket. That's you right now?
Yeah, yeah. As we try to figure out what's going on with Kyle Tucker, I'm Raheem Harrison Grody on the score.
Listen, so Craig Counsell's answer there does not surprise me based on how he's answered really any question that didn't have to do with the immediate future. When I say immediate, I mean like today or tomorrow.
Really. To be fair, one of Craig's answers one time in a scenario discussion was coin flip when they were trying to figure out who the backup outfielder would be.
I remember that. Yeah. And coin flip. Because you have to put out a roster with guys that may not be playing at their best position. I mean, look, for Kyle Tucker, I'm with you, Layla. If he has to sit the rest of this week and does not play in this homestand, but on Monday he's running and it looks different than what I saw yesterday, the video of yesterday's running, it looks like a guy running. He's running right now like how I would be running if I was running. And I can't run yet. I'm not cleared to run.
Tell people about your injuries.
I've got a quad strain that I've just recovered from, but not fully.
I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah, it's a quad strain. I've got bursitis, same leg, same knee, same quad, all same area, I guess. And like, I can walk pretty well without a limp anymore. I'm no longer on crutches as I was when we were in Las Vegas. I'm no longer in the static stabilizer.
People were like, why is he sitting away from her? And I'm like, because he's got to put his leg up.
I'm out of all of that. But like, if the fire alarm came on right now, and they're like, quick, hit the stairs. I'd be like, I got to go downstairs. I'd be in trouble. We're on the 9th floor. I'd be in trouble. And right now, Kyle Tucker, I'm like, Kyle Tucker can beat me in a foot race, but I don't think he could beat me by a whole lot.
You just illustrated like one calamitous injury after another to then therefore take us to a life and death situation requiring stairs. And then it was like, I don't know if he's okay.
Basically. And so I know
I'm
Kyle
not trying to laugh at this segment the entire time. It's just there have been funny asides in it.
No. But listen, I dare anyone listening, watching on Twitch, YouTube, where, however you're consuming this program, I dare you to watch that Kyle Tucker running video and say, I feel good about him being back in the lineup anytime soon.
That stupid music is still in my head.
So let's say Kyle Tucker is back. Do you not put him in the outfield? Is he your DH? Like, if he can't run like that, do you make sure he's not a defensive liability at all?
Yes,
put him at DH.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I think...
To answer your question a million times, yes.
I said it yesterday, but I'll reiterate it. When we found out that he was dealing with a calf issue and he was still in right field the day before, but they knew about the calf issue, I was like, why isn't he DHing?
Well, let's face it. What happened to that crucial Saturday? He's missed 18 games.
Well, it was crucial because they determined he was not.
But it wasn't crucial enough for an IL. Like, that's the thing is it's become this discussion of what percentage of him are we okay with having still on the team, whether or not he's actually playing.
If I had to put in a number, I'd say 2/3. 66.6 with the repeating line over the last six.
And he probably could figure it out because the war would factor in there. But this is this roulette is hard to take. I mean, our time with this dude may be running out as we speak.
I will tell you this.
Given his contract situation.
You know, I did a whole like social media thing on this at M Harris on Air if you can find me on Twitter, but I'm also on, as you know, TikTok and also Instagram. But the whole point was, at this point, there's only possibly 9 days left in the Cubs season. At this point, there's a chance he's played his last game as a Cub. That is a real thing. That's not a pretend thing. That's not a, oh, you guys are overreacting thing. That is a real thing. If Kyle Tucker isn't ready to go for this wild card series and they lose the wild card series, you may never see Kyle Tucker in a Cubs uniform again.
Yeah, these are some dark hypotheticals.
But that's why I go to a dark place when I see the video of him running.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair thing.
But either way, you're definitely taking the rest of this series off.
Like, yeah.
At the least.
Based on what I just saw?
At the least.
Jed Hoyer was on with us yesterday, Layla, and he's like, he ran yesterday, and we were celebrating the fact that he ran when he got back.
He ran so far away?
Well, he ran. I didn't know what the running looked like until later on in the day.
Yeah.
And once I saw what the running looked like, that changed my entire way I was looking at the celebration of this.
Yeah, and that's fair. It was worse than we thought. And unfortunately, we've said that before regarding his injuries. Tonight, the Cubs continue their series against the New York Mets. Pregame coverage begins here at 6:30. First pitch is at 7:05. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. When I worked with Lawrence yesterday, he did the whole pause. And I think the pause between Cubs and the word radio network was about a minute. I just sat there in silence looking. It was very dramatic.
Everything's dramatic with Lawrence when it comes to that particular read.
The Cubs. Radio Network. I mean, it was a long time. Coming up next, it is halftime, and an actual sporting event took place in Chicago in a place where I don't know that it should have.
They went to a place I could never go.
We need to talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. It is halftime. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we've had quite a day. We talked about The Cubs lost to the Mets where they were up 6-1, but unfortunately that was not the score at the end of the game. They ended up losing 9-7. So they've got another game against the Mets tonight. You can hear that right here on 670 The Score, and hopefully it goes a little bit better than the last one did. Cade Horton has something that's kind of like an injury. He had to leave the game after three because of a back issue, which is related to coughing too much.
No, so, it's an injury. You have to leave the game for it. It's an injury.
Fair enough. We debated that as well. Did the Bears fans move the line and are now helping the Bears not be be the favorite against the Raiders?
They didn't move the line. They put that thing on their back and carried it uphill. And I think they will continue to move it by carrying it.
They like to move it.
Yes.
Move it.
Move it.
Had to be done. Mike Florio joined us at 11 to talk about the latest news in the NFL. And then additionally, we just talked about whether or not we're confident after seeing Kyle Tucker try to run yesterday at Wrigley Field.
It's halftime.
The news came out that for the first time in 100 years.
100 years.
100 years. That's how long it takes to help an ecosystem in these modern times when things are good. That you can swim in the Chicago River. Now listen, we knew that the river was healthier because of our friend Chonkosaurus. Chonkosaurus, the fat turtle, if you recall, who was hanging out on the stones and such, the rocks in the middle of the Chicago River, that was actually a sign of a healthy ecosystem, because if a turtle wants to be there, then theoretically other things want to be there too. But I don't know that people should be the next thing. And over the weekend, 263 swimmers raced in the Chicago River for the first time in nearly 100 years. You got 263 people to jump in that river and swim?
People like to swim. Was Robbie one of the 263? That's my next question.
Well, the thing is, like everyone knows here, I'm a big lake guy. I would swim in the river. I would swim in the river if given the opportunity.
What?
If we want to go now, I can go jump in the river and come back by Russ Dorsey.
No, we wouldn't want you to come back until you've showered, Robbie. No.
And not just that, but I mean like nuclear fallout shower. You know, like follow those instructions.
What's the worst that could happen?
Are you going to wear a hazmat suit when you jump into the river? That's my question.
No, I'm going. What do I wear? Pants? I wear my khakis. I wear my khakis in the rivers.
That sounds hideous. No, I don't think that's a good idea. But apparently, the Clean Water Act of 1972 helped make this happen. Swim events were a regular occurrence in Chicago in the river in the decades after 1900, after they reversed the flow of the river, which was very key in all of this, as you know, to flush the waste away from Lake Michigan. But unfortunately, pollution overwhelmed the river. I'm looking at these pictures right now and the videos of people jumping in, and it's really disagreeing with my brain. Like, I can't make it make sense in my head. Because if there's one thing I've avoided, it is the Chicago River water.
I wonder if this is going to survive all the deregulation going on right now with the EPA.
No. Also, for now, apparently there's 70 to 80 species of fish in the river.
Oh.
70 to 80.
Would you eat fish out of the Chicago River?
I don't know that I have the right to even understand whether or not I do. I mean, I guess they probably hang out in it at some point before they get to other bodies of water. They're both freshwater, the river and the lake. So yeah. I assume they might intermix.
Hmm.
But I just don't know about the whole swimming thing.
How much would I have to pay you to jump into the Chicago River?
A lot of money.
More than $10?
I mean, like, I'm talking four figures.
Four figures.
Yep.
What? What type of price tag you have?
Guys,
here?
I laughed so hard I had to cut my mic off because I was coughing in the last segment. Nothing happened to me there. I'm just breathing the air in the studio. I know my limits as a human.
So it's a $1,000 minimum for Layla Rahimi to jump into the river.
Apparently, a recent survey by Chicago Shedd Aquarium found species generally thought to be pollution intolerant, like juvenile brook silverside and mimic shinerfish, have returned to the river.
That's actually great news.
It is. I mean, Chonkosaurus was onto something.
I'm going to the Shedd Aquarium next week.
Look at that beast. Hey, how you doing, guy? You look good.
He did. He did look good. I want to go to the Shedd Aquarium at some point. I haven't been yet.
You know who I'm going with?
Who?
My niece.
Oh, that's so fun.
My niece and my brother-in-law.
I was about to say Clay. Clay Harbor.
You're
going to 100% take Clay Harbor.
This is a good opportunity to remind people that Clay Harbor is going to be with us for the entire 5 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Unfortunately, you, me, and Clay might be in whole weekend mode. But you, me, and Clay at Old Crow at 5 o'clock on a Thursday night football.
What are you trying to say, Layla?
We've done it before as a team.
Have I been to Old Crow?
We've been out, the three of us, to talk about sports and such.
I couldn't remember if I've ever been to Old Crow, and I was like, I'll find out when I get there tomorrow.
Well, I definitely have.
Wait, so Layla, you said you've never been to Shed? You've never been to the aquarium?
No.
I
want to go so bad.
Group field trip.
I love animals and penguins and stuff. I like watching them just be themselves and do animal things.
A great, and I do mean an A-plus date at Shed Aquarium, and we had such a good time.
The texts, if you just like don't take any context into the text line right now, are hilarious. Watch out for that fecal count. I will. In life. I think that's good advice.
Marshall, you're onto something, though. The going to the zoo or going to the aquarium, elite date. Elite date.
Yeah, I haven't been to the zoo yet. But I've been to that Shed Aquarium. The Shed Aquarium, we did the whole like dolphin show and every... man, I had a great time.
It is a good date. You learn a lot about people by figuring out what animals they like.
Well, you also just learn, are they smart enough to understand, like... are they smart enough to understand?
I think are you going out with?
No, I'm saying...
I like water.
No. But are you...
Do you think there's enough of it in the world...
Natural curiosity takes over in a place such as a zoo or an aquarium. And if the person has no questions and they're not curious, I'm like, oh, you're not for me.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. 847 made me laugh really hard. The turtle doesn't want to be there. It just takes forever to get away.
Wow. That's actually hilarious. That is hilarious.
No, 708, a dip in the Chicago River could not be all the therapy that Kyle Tucker needs. No.
630, brain-eating amoeba. That's the worst that can happen. Dang.
Yeah, brain-eating amoeba is up there as things you don't want to run into.
The risk for the plot.
And then 217 with a very good point as well, because this is an issue. Michigan, because of the invasive Asian carp, they have put in an electrified chunk of river to keep them from going across. What?
Wait, what?
I need to look into this.
It's kind of crazy.
It is. I want to look into that. So all of these things are good to hear from. But yeah, Dustin from Decatur says that the species of fish from the Illinois River and Downriver do not intermingle with the Chicago River in Lake Michigan because of the Asian carp. Man.
Okay.
I knew Asian carp were an issue. This is pretty bad.
A good point brought up by 309. Were the swimmers forced to sign a document, not sue contract? I'm sure there was a release to participate in that event.
And if I were writing the contract, it would be like, you know what you're doing, right? Like, this is the Chicago River. You're cool with this? Jump at your own risk.
I'm saying if you are swimming in the river, though, and you look around, you're in one of the coolest places to be swimming ever. To be around those buildings, that would be sick.
To be right on top of the river like that, yes. Architecturally speaking, there is nothing like it to me.
Now it sounds like Robbie's going to take the architecture tour just to jump off the boat and be like, I'm in the river.
Don't do that. Do not.
If they put a diving board on the boat, that'd be sick. I'm learning about like the Wrigley building and I jump in.
Man, that Tigers game sent you into a weird place.
Tarek Skubal almost killed a guy.
Yes, by throwing the baseball between his legs.
He deep snapped it. It's really what happened.
No, that guy got hit in the face. That was bad.
But also, like, if you're in that situation, would that be a thought of yours? It would be a thought of mine, I think. He's like, ball, person, how do I get there fastest? This.
We need Patrick Manley to review the tape.
We actually do. I think so. So that's fair enough.
Ooh,
yes.
Great, great suggestion by 847. Go to Shed to celebrate 10 years in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's what I should do.
Your first Bears Monday, yeah.
That's it. We figured out how I'm going to celebrate. I want to see all the penguins.
What's
all
the date?
Of them.
What's the date?
The 27th of October.
27th of October. Layla, 10 years in the Windy City.
Amazing how I haven't been here at all. And have been here 10 years. It's like I've bent time.
And space or just time?
Mm-hmm. All of it. The continuum.
Okay.
The whole thing. If there's one person to talk about all of this with and more, and that Tigers game, it's Russ Dorsey.
Oh, my goodness.
The baseball insider for Yahoo and also Apple TV Plus joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.